the Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome. Now, if you take a moment and just look around you, your office, maybe the street outside, even just what pops up on your phone, chances are you're surrounded by things that are, well, mainly functional or maybe designed to shock you or just be consumed instantly. We seem really caught up in utility, in novelty. But here's a question I've been thinking about. What have we lost in this process? Is appreciating beauty just, you know, a nice little hobby, something sentimental, or is it something vital, something essential we've maybe abandoned?
That's exactly the question we're diving into today. We're looking at the work of Sir Roger Scruton and specifically his really quite powerful book, Beauty. And Scruton's argument is, frankly, pretty stark. He argues that this modern flight from beauty, as he calls it, isn't just about bad taste. He sees it as a deep moral and spiritual crisis, one that's really impoverished our culture from high art right down to the design of our everyday spaces.
So our goal in this deep dive is to unpack that. We want to understand why Scruton insists beauty is objective, something indispensable, and how he diagnoses the problem he talks about these enemies, like kitsch and desecration.
Right. And ultimately, why he thinks finding our way back to beauty is so crucial, maybe even a democratic act, vital for us to flourish as humans.
Yeah, it sounds like he really makes you reconsider, well, almost every aesthetic choice.
He really does. He's trying to give us the tools, a kind of vocabulary, to defend that gut feeling many of us have, that some things genuinely are better, more meaningful than others, and why that difference actually matters for society, for finding meaning.
Okay, before we jump right into the thick of the argument, maybe let's talk a bit about the man himself, Sir Roger Scruton. He lived from 1944 to 2020. Now, he was definitely a prominent conservative academic philosopher, taught at some well-known places.
Mm-hmm. Birkbeck, Buckingham.
Right. But what makes his take on beauty so, well, compelling, I think, is that he wasn't just an academic writing from an ivory tower.
That's absolutely key. Scruton was also a composer. He wrote novels. He was known for his deep knowledge of architecture, even wine.
Ah, so he didn't just think about beauty. He actively engaged with it, created it, experienced it.
Exactly. He could connect these high-level philosophical ideas, drawing on thinkers like Plato and Kant, with very real, concrete sensory experiences.
So it wasn't just theory for him. It was lived. What's the absolute core claim, the big idea in his book, Beauty?
It's his firm insistence that beauty is an objective value. It's not just a matter of personal taste, like preferring one flavor over another. And he argues that when modern culture started prioritizing things like, you know, novelty for its own sake, or irony, or just shock value over actually pursuing beauty, we weren't just making aesthetically poor choices. We were actually cutting ourselves off from something vital.
Okay, cutting ourselves off from what exactly? Why is it so urgent? If I kind of ignore beauty, what's the big loss?
Scruton sees beauty as this essential bridge, a bridge between our everyday material world and something more spiritual or transcendent. It provides that glimpse of meaning, of order, maybe even consolation in what can feel like a pretty chaotic world.
So that feeling you get from a really moving piece of music or a stunning landscape.
Yes. He'd say that feeling suggests the world isn't just random, that there's an underlying worth, a sense of home. It offers hope. And when our culture systematically rejects or ignores that, we diminish our own capacity for finding that deeper meaning, that spiritual kind of fulfillment.
Okay, this is probably where a lot of people, myself included sometimes, start to push back a bit. If I say, wow, that painting is beautiful, isn't that just my opinion, my taste? How can Scruton argue it's objective? That seems like I'm just telling you what to like.
Right, and that's the absolute crux of his argument. He leans heavily on Immanuel Kant's philosophy here, specifically from the Critique of Judgment. Scruton makes a really important distinction between saying, I like this, which is purely personal preference, like you said, vanilla ice cream.
My go-to example, yeah.
Huh, right. Versus making an aesthetic judgment, which is saying, this is beautiful.
Okay, so what is the fundamental difference then? Liking versus judging.
Well, liking something is purely subjective. You don't need to give reasons for liking vanilla. It just appeals to you. But when you declare something beautiful, you're making a claim that goes beyond just yourself. You're suggesting the object has certain inherent qualities, things like harmony, form, a sense of rightness that justify that judgment. You're implicitly inviting others to see those qualities too.
Ah, okay. So it's not just a feeling. It's a claim that I should in theory, be able to back up with reasons, it opens up a discussion.
Exactly. It moves into a realm of shared criteria, of rational consideration. And a key part of being able to make that judgment properly is what he calls disinterested contemplation.
Disinterested contemplation. That sounds a bit
yeah.
philosophical. Let's break that down. If I'm looking at, say, a really sleek, beautiful car, how do I separate my desire to own it or drive it fast from just appreciating its beauty?
Well, that separation is the hard part. He calls it a kind of moral discipline.
A discipline.
Yes, because it means consciously stepping back from your practical desires. What can this do for me? How much is it worth? Does it make me feel powerful? Instead, you try to appreciate the object purely for itself, for its form, its lines, its proportions, its inherent meaning. It's about reverence, not appetite.
So it shifts the focus from what's in it for me to what is this thing in itself?
Precisely. And he extends this idea even to how we perceive human beauty. He argues that true human beauty isn't just about physical attributes. It's inseparable from inner qualities like character, virtue. When we look with that disinterested eye, we're looking for something deeper, the light of the soul, he might say.
Which explains why he often criticized modern art's portrayal of people. If it just reduces them to objects of desire or scientific specimens.
Exactly. He felt it often stripped away that need to see the person, the character, and focused only on the physical or the shocking, degrading the human form in the process.
Okay, so with this framework, objective beauty, disinterested contemplation, Scruton then turns his attention quite sharply sometimes towards contemporary culture. If art and culture abandoned this pursuit of beauty, what did they embrace instead? He points to two main culprits, two enemies.
Yes. The first one he identifies is kitsch. Now, kitsch, for Scruton, is essentially fake art. It's sentimental, it's cliched, it's designed to give you an easy emotional hit without demanding any real thought or engagement. Think of, you know, overly sentimental greeting cards or those paintings of crying clowns.
Ah, okay. So it offers pre-digested emotion. Like, if real art makes you grapple with complex feelings, kitsch just hands you a sugary, simple version.
That's a great way to put it. It's dangerous, he thinks, because it sort of numbs us. It substitutes genuine, difficult emotions with easy, fake ones. We start preferring the comfortable fantasy over the challenging reality. It dulls our sensitivity.
Okay, so kitsch is the comfortable lie. What's the second enemy?
The second, and perhaps more damaging in his view, is desecration.
Desecration? That sounds serious.
It is. This is the deliberate pursuit of ugliness, of shock, of transgression, not as a means to critique something, but almost as an end in itself. He often points to Marcel Duchamp's fountain, the urinal presented as art, as a key starting point.
The infamous urinal, right.
But Scruton's critique isn't just that it was shocking. His argument is that the intention behind a lot of this kind of work became nihilistic.
Meaning, it wasn't trying to critique society to make it better, but more like saying, nothing matters, so let's just tear down tradition.
That's his reading, yes. He saw it evolving into a cult of ugliness. Mm-hmm. Works that seemed designed only to shock, to offend, to mock anything held sacred or beautiful. He viewed it not as creation, but as a kind of spiritual vandalism, an abdication of the artist's responsibility to offer meaning or consolation.
And this isn't just confined to art galleries, right? He brings this critique powerfully into architecture.
Oh, absolutely. That chapter is crucial because it takes the argument right into our everyday environment. He critiques the modernist principle, form follows function.
Which sounds sensible on the surface.
Yeah. It does, but Scruton argues that when you only prioritize function, efficiency, cost-effectiveness, you completely ignore fundamental human aesthetic and spiritual needs.
And the result is?
Sterile, impersonal, often dehumanizing environments. Think of vast, featureless concrete buildings, identical suburban sprawl, places that don't feel like home. He directly links this architectural style to social problems, alienation, lack of civic pride, because these environments fail to provide that sense of order, beauty, and belonging that humans actually crave.
Okay, so if kitsch offers fake comfort, desecration promotes ugliness, and functionalism creates sterile spaces,
mm-hmm.
What's the way forward, according to Scruton? What are we supposed to do?
Well, this is where his argument becomes quite practical, and I think quite hopeful, actually.
Yeah.
He stresses that beauty isn't just for museums or concert halls. It's a democratic value. It's something everyone needs and can participate in. His call to action is essentially this. We need to consciously choose and cultivate beauty in our ordinary lives.
So it's about the small choices, like choosing a well-designed chair over a purely functional plastic one, or maybe tending a small garden.
Precisely. Choosing objects with care, paying attention to craftsmanship, demanding better design in our towns and homes, even just keeping public spaces clean and attractive. For Scruton, these aren't trivial things. They are moral acts. They show respect for ourselves, for our communities, and signal that we value more than just bare utility. It's part of human flourishing.
That connects back to his bigger theme then, the spiritual dimension of beauty.
Exactly. Especially in a world that feels increasingly secular or maybe just chaotic, beauty offers a pathway, perhaps one of the few remaining pathways, to experiencing something sacred. Whether it's through nature, music, art, or even just a beautifully ordered room, these experiences give us these glimpses of a deeper order, of meaning, of consolation. It makes the world feel consecrated, meaningful, rather than just a random collection of stuff. Beauty, in a way, redeems the everyday.
That's a powerful idea. That beauty isn't just decoration, it's a form of redemption. I found a quote that really seems to capture this. Scruton wrote, "The beautiful work of art brings consolation in sorrow and affirmation in joy. It shows human life to be worthwhile."
That sums it up perfectly. It shows the scale of what he thinks is at stake. Aesthetic experience isn't a luxury item, it's fundamental. And cultural renewal, he believes, really depends on individuals making that conscious choice, resisting the easy appeal of kitsch or the shock of the ugly, and instead prioritizing beauty as food for the soul. Hashtag outro.
This deep dive really leaves you thinking, doesn't it? Scruton basically argues we're surrounded, maybe even drowning, in things that are just useful or just designed to grab our attention for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've forgotten how to ask for more, how to demand beauty. So maybe the challenge he leaves us with, the final thought, is this. What's one small choice you could make today? Maybe in your home, maybe something you wear, or even just a route you walk. A choice based purely on aesthetic value, on beauty. And maybe try treating that choice, however small, as a quiet act of, well, spiritual resistance against the purely functional or the merely shocking.
It's about choosing to engage with meaning, isn't it? Rather than just letting the noise wash over you. That feels like the core lesson from Scruton's work. A really valuable one.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.